Blog Talk Radio.
In a world of so much hate, crime and injustice, what we need right now is some universal love. Unconditional love, y'all.
Good morning. Welcome once again to the Wednesday broadcast of Cosmic Citizen. This is Ann Garner, and we have a very special guest with us today, and Gyanaji Harbhajan Singh. Gyanaji, you there?
Yes.
Good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
And before I will give you the biographical background of Gyanaji, we will greet each other. He is a Sikh priest for almost 50 years, Gyanaji, and that's quite a long time.
Yeah, it is.
So, Waheguru Ji Ka Khalsa, Waheguru Ji Ki Fateh. And would you explain to the listening audience what we just, the common greeting that we give to each other?
When we greet each other, and if we say use of these same words, Waheguru Ji Ka Khalsa, Waheguru Ji Ki Fateh. Our belief, we believe the one God. So if there is a purity in our mind, it's a grace of God. And if it's a victory, it's a victory of the truth. That's our beating when we see each other as a Sikh and as a Khalsa. So, Waheguru Ji Ka Khalsa, Waheguru Ji Ki Fateh. That's our greeting.
Well, I love that greeting because it just reminds me of in my mind, in my consciousness, of the purity that I need to seek to maintain. And you, like I said, you have been a Sikh, I'll say priest, minister, which is unique in Sikhism because there's actually, that's different. There's no, that strong hierarchy is not there as far as you see yourself as a teacher, and you embrace the people with the singing of the hymns, the shabads, what is called shabads.
Yeah.
And you embellish, you encourage, you embellish the scriptures, the Guru Granth Sahib.
Yes.
And because everybody sits on the same level when you go into the Sikh Gurdwara, and I like that.
Right.
You have a bachelor's degree in art and a master's degree in music, and you'll have to say the name of the university. I won't even try to say that.
Okay. I get my education. I educate from the Gwalior is a city, middle of India. And university, the name of the university where I graduate, it's a Jivaji University. I get a bachelor degree in art and a master in music.
Right, the master's degree in music.
Yes. Indian classical music.
Indian classical music.
Yes.
And you also have done a lot of personal research studying text of all major religions.
Sure, yes, I did.
and your writings, and I used an adjective, acclaimed writings, because they are, and you're very selfless. You don't like to, I've noticed that about you, and I really like that, has been published throughout most of your years as a minister. And then we'll be talking later on in the broadcast about your book to be published, Spiritual Strength. So it's very appropriate that you're here with us right before we mark the time of spring on the planet. So that's beautiful. Now, you have been blind since you were about 1.5 years old.
Yes.
Due to an accident, and we don't have to go into those details, but you see better than most, I will tell you that. And your remarkable ministry of all these years of bringing forth universal knowledge, universal love, is that's the greatest testament, the way you've lived it out. And you were in India. You began at age 21, and in 19, you were there.
Yes.
In a gurdwara, and I think I neglected to put that in the bio, but that can easily be the name of that gurdwara.
It's a Gwalior.
Okay.
Center.
Oh, you're cutting out here.
Gwalior Sikh Center.
Okay, great. In 1986, you came to the United States, and you were a Sikh minister in what is called the 3HO Ashram in Phoenix, which is a little different from Indian Sikhs, right? That's what is referred to as North American Sikhs. And that's what I enjoy most about, not most, but you really have been a bridge there to create that wonderful balance, and I really admire that. Beautiful people. And you did
I served 12 years there to bring together all the community. They are black people, white skin people, American and Indian, and all sit together and meditate in one God.
So it's all, the skin colors are all the same. I love that. All the rainbow. I really like that.
Yes.
In 12 years. And then you also traveled throughout the United States.
Yes.
And as a, I called it principal, the leader, right, of the principal of 3 Ragis.
Yes.
And that's, people can go to our website, Cosmic Citizen, and there's a link to this bio, so we won't take up much more time. We've been blessed to have you as a guest minister and a mentor in Irving, Texas, where I've been a part of the Sikh faith since 1995, 96. I actually knew Sikhs before that, but it's been a joy to worship, and that's what I always say. The worship experience for me is very powerful.
Sure. When we have that chance in our human life, it's a privilege. When we sit together without any thinking or color, caste, and language and country, and worship God together, that's a privilege of the human life.
Mm.
So I'm a fortune. I did long time the same thing. God gave me a chance to do that.
And we will begin when you walk inside and begin a service at the Gurdwara, the Mool Mantra is the first thing. The opening prayer, and I think it's quite a beautiful prayer. And we will begin the first part. You will do one line in Gurmukhi, which is a variation of Punjabi language, which like the Punjab area, right?
Yes.
And I will recite in English, and then you will chant it one time, and then you'll come back and chant it again. It's very brief. And I will chant it with you.
Sure, we will do that.
And everyone listening, see if I'm sure you'll be able to do it. After all, a true Sikh means one who is constantly learning and a disciple of learning.
Yes.
Okay.
So, Mool Mantra.
Yes, sir.
We call this a Mool Mantra because it's a beginning part of our holy book. So we start Omkar Satnam Kartapurukh Nirbhav Nirvair Akal Murit Ajuni Saipam Kurprasad Jap Ad Sach Jugad Sach Hai Bhi Sach Nanak Hosi Bhi Sach.
There is but one God. Truth is His name. The Creator, all-pervading Divine Spirit, without fear, without hate, without enmity, immortal, without form, unborn, self-existent, realized by His own grace, the true Guru, the Lord. Meditate upon who was true before the creation, who was true in the beginning of creation, who is true now, and Nanak, who shall be true forever. So now please chant it.
Ik Omkar Satnam Kartapurukh Nirbhav Nirvair Akal Murit Ajuni Saibhan Gurprasad Jap Ad Sach Yugad Sach Hai Bhi Sach Nanak Hosi Bhi Sach Ik Omkar Satnam Kartapurukh Nirbhav Nirvair Akal Murit Ajuni Saibhan Gurprasad Jap Ad Sach Jugad Sach Hai Bhi Sach Nanak Hosi Bhi Sach Wahe Guru.
Beautiful. The reason I was not chanting with you is once we enter into the broadcast, which is good, if I start speaking, it cuts you off. So that keeps us all from interrupting each other.
Okay.
But there's a slight delay. But I will chant it because it resonates with me very deeply. And I'll do my best. Ik Omkar Satnam Kartapurukh
Nirbhav Nirvair Akal Murit Ajuni Saibhan Gurprasad Jap Ad Sach Jugad Sach Hai Bhi Sach Nanak Hosi Bhi Sach Wahe Guru.
Beautiful. Thank you. I had to stop chanting Gyanaji because the echo it creates, but that's okay. People heard you. You are much more marvelous at that than I am. Okay. Sikhism. And we, of course, I tried to get a hymn, a Shabad, to upload, and that was a dynamic experience for me. So I said, okay, it's not meant to be, but that's okay. Sikhism began in a very unusual way with a man we know in the Urantia book as Nanak. And when I say that, there's no, the word guru does not appear there because that can be misunderstood. And that was by many people. And Guru Nanak, that was a little over 500 years ago. Is that correct?
Yes, in 1469, he born.
And his father was an accountant, and Guru Nanak did a lot of studying of different religions.
Yes.
And he became a businessman himself. Would you explain what happened to him at a very young age, his spiritual experience, his spiritual enlightenment?
His way of life was unique. When he was younger, he was very quiet and liked to stay alone, sit alone. And when he get the company of the his same age children, and he bring them together and start to teaching them to meditate. So that was unique way he start his mission. So when he start to teach the children of the same age, his age, and they start to meditate, and people were so, you know, so devoted with that, his way of playing, because the younger children like to play with the other many things, but his main play was, his main game was to come together, sit together, and chanting the God name together. So that was his unique way to impress the people. And he convinced the most this way all his life.
Yes, and when he synthesized the teachings of the different scriptures in different religions. Synthesized means that he brought forth the best of what and the spiritual essence of that, and that is contained within the Holy Scriptures, a very large text, I must say. And I have my own personal copy here, and it's an honor. And I take very good care of it. I do abide by those guidelines, and I think all traditions can learn a lesson from that, in my opinion. That I've been in different settings of where people take their Holy Scriptures and literally just throw them on the floor, you know, without regard of the essence of what that means. And my major study as far as spirituality is, of course, the Holy Scriptures of the Bible, which I was raised with, the Urantia book, which you and I we've talked about off and on, but of course you know the essence of it through my life and through our interactions, and the Guru Granth Sahib. And they're all covered by that. I mean, the Guru Granth Sahib, I keep it covered in a separate room, small area, in a large closet, and covered in a beautiful cloth. That's just tradition. And I respect that. And the Bible is covered in a covering, and so is my Urantia book. So
right.
That's just my personal opinion. And secondly, it will preserve it a lot longer.
Well, yeah, sure.
So back to Guru Nanak, that Mool Mantra came in a very spiritual, unique way with him.
Yes.
He had a spiritual experience.
Yes. Actually, his maid, you know, the nurse.
His nurse, uh-huh.
Who gave the help to mother when child born. And the first experience she had, when he came from the mother, and there he was, the room was full of light.
So there was a definite destiny with him, and that we can understand that as Urantia book readers and biblical Christianity. I can
right.
only speak from those two aspects. That there is a plan prepared in the spirit realm, a projection of destiny, and we choose whether or not we'll go along with that destiny.
Yes.
And so that's quite powerful. And then when he was a young man, he a lot of people around the planet like the idea of the cleansing aspect of water, the purification of cleansing water, not only for the cleanliness of the body, but also there's just something very symbolic about that. So he was bathing in, which river was he bathing in?
That's called the Veng River.
How do you spell that, please?
I think we can say W-A-I-N.
Wayne. Okay.
Yeah.
And he disappeared. He went away for a while, for about 3 days, I understand, the way the story goes.
Yeah, people are finding him, and he went actually far deep in the river.
Deep in the river, uh-huh.
Yeah, and then he not came out.
He didn't come out.
And it was going on 3 days. Drama, you know, 3 day drama. The people was the unbelief that how happened, and the people was not finding him anything, and they not holding anything where he disappeared.
Huh.
And suddenly after third day, he came out from the same water and same place.
So he came up out, they were looking for him. They were, and he suddenly reappeared. He came up out, and the first words out of his mouth,
Ekomkar Satnam, God is one, only one.
God is one.
Truth is personality. Truth is his reality.
Mm. And you and I were talking earlier about, you said you abide by the great commandments, the Ten Commandments.
Yes.
And I said to you that Jesus came forth and said, spoke, these are all wrapped up, and there's a story connected with that, because he was being asked about, what must I do to have eternal life? What must I do to be partake of this divine nature? And he said, how do you see the law? And the man said, love God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind, and treat your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus responded, you're right. You're correct. That's it. Everything is wrapped up in those two things. And
yes.
Then the man came back and really hit him again, because his heart was not, and he was trying to make a point of disrespect almost, yes. And he said, who is my neighbor? And Gyanaji, I don't know if you've ever heard the parable of the Good Samaritan.
Uh-huh.
I'll share it, because we might be having people listening, and we probably will, that are not familiar with the Bible.
Right.
And or the Urantia book. In the parable of the Samaritan, a lot of Christians don't realize that it's coming on the hill on the after this
right.
comment. And in those days, the Samaritans were considered to be very lowly animals, that just very low, and just no respect toward them.
Right.
So the Samaritan, the story is that a man was going down the road who was a Jew, because in those days, that's, of course, Jesus was born as a Jew.
Right.
The great traditions of the Jewish faith. And the two leaders would not stop to help him.
Right.
But then here comes a Samaritan who would be considered a no good, an outcast, an animal, a low caste. And we're going to come back around, because there is no caste. That's what Guru Nanak brought forth in the faith. And stopped and bandaged him and put him on his own donkey, I believe it was, yes, and took him to an inn, a motel, you might say, left money with the innkeeper and said, keep him and take care of him until he is well.
Right.
So Jesus turned to the man, the lawyer, who was an attorney, and he said, so who was the neighbor? And he responded, he said, the one who showed mercy. He said, go and do likewise. Now that's a very powerful statement right there, that who is our neighbor? One who loves God with all their heart, soul, and mind, and treats each other as themselves. That'll pretty much resolve a lot of issues on this planet, Gyanaji. And that is what is the good news, the real good news, the gospel, as I'm sure you've heard, which has been misunderstood by many people. And that's why I feel totally comfortable within the Sikh tradition. I have never, ever, because you have the same thoughts, the same understanding, the same faith. I have never felt pressure since the early 90s. to convert. So I want to just say that, how much I appreciate that.
Yes. And actually, many times some Christian people, they start to talk with me, and what you think about that and this. Actually, the main part of the Bible, when I read, I was 10, 16 years old. And since that, I love the Ten Commandments.
Mm-hmm. So you began reading the Bible at what age?
16.
16. Beautiful, beautiful. Well, I know there's great respect there, and I can feel it. I know it. I've heard it in your teaching. And something you and I were talking about earlier, none of us will ever be able to believe everything the same.
Right.
As you know, it was a great honor to escort two Guyanese to a Christian, large Christian church a week ago today, this evening. And it was very warmly received and great sense of humor about it all. A lot of penetrating questions, and I think that's important because there can be misunderstandings. You're a man who wears a turban. You carry a small sword.
Yeah.
And that's important for people to understand. What is this? And we need to explain that. Why are you wearing a turban? Why do you have this symbolic small sword on you? And I know I've seen a large sword by in your room when you were here. I've often said, hey, we have a right to defend ourselves, but it goes even beyond that. And let's talk about the 5 Ks, the order of the Khalsa. There were 10 teachers, 10 spiritual teachers, including
yes.
Nanak.
Yeah.
And the 10th one, we won't go through all of those right now. And the 10th one, about how many years ago? A little over 300 years?
Yes.
Would you explain that, please?
And the Guru Nanak born in 1469. And he start, I can say, his mission when he born, when he came out from the mother. Because his maid, when she received him from the mother, and she saw the one unique thing, with her own eyes, because that room was the full of light. And she was surprised, and she said, I don't know how many children I helped to born, but this child is not a child. It's something different. Because when he came out from the mother, and this room was the full of light. So she convinced the first woman, and she was a Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
And she became a devoted him.
Mm-hmm.
And she wanted to see him every day when he was growing. So after that, we have 10 teachers. The first, Guru Nanak. Then last was Guru Gobind Singh. Guru Gobind Singh.
And that's why your name, you carry the name Singh.
Yes.
Which means lion, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Yeah.
And all the females carry the... And you also have your family name.
Yes.
And the lady's car?
Yes.
Princess. I like that. That's nice.
Yeah. And the male is a sink. It's a lion.
And so the order of the Khalsa was born then. The five, what English terms, 5 Ks.
Yes.
Would you go through those, please?
5 Ks, like long hair.
Uncut hair.
And one is like a bangle and the right hand.
A kara, a bracelet.
We call it a kara.
Which I do wear a gold one. I don't wear the steel like you do. And we'll come back and explain those, okay?
Yeah, sure. And then keep on sword.
The sword?
Yeah, we keep it very small because now we no need to protect ourselves with the sword.
Right, need to protect, right.
Yeah, when Guru gave us, that time was need. because that time we were unprotected.
You were what?
That time we need a protection all the time. So the guru was taught to protect ourselves.
To protect yourselves, yes.
Yes. And so they call Kirpan.
Kirpan.
And then Ankar here, they call case, two case. Then Kara is like a bangle, steel bangle.
And the comb, the conga.
Yeah, and the comb there is a conga.
And under your turban, in with your hair, there's always a small comb for cleanliness to keep it.
Yes, yes.
Personal
yes.
care, and then the special undergarments.
Yes.
And so what we have here, the uncut hair.
Yes.
The comb to keep the hair nice.
Right.
The bracelet as a reminder of that of God is one. Without beginning or end. That's what I like to think. Every time that hand goes out, my right hand, I go, okay, this is bringing forth. This isn't just my own selfish things. This is to be a blessing.
Yes.
And then the undergarments, that's for respect, how should we say, chastity, and also from a standpoint in those days you could flee at any time if you were under persecution, you could get up and go.
Yes, yes.
And I'd already done this. I've always, because being raised in an environment with a lot of tornadoes, and now I haven't experienced one massive earthquake. I like that tradition. Spiritually, I understand, but also from it's nice to be able to. I like the form also of modest attire. I taken to extreme, of course, we won't go to the break. The modest attire is that really speaks to my heart. And then the dagger, the sword.
Yes.
Right now, it's on your body, on your side. And it's there, and I like this. A lot of people don't realize this, that one of the teachers, one of the gurus brought forth, and I've been with Sikh gyanis when we were traveling and moving around, deep respect from people, all people of
yes.
Different religions from India. They know that you will defend my right, gyani, to worship God the way I desire to worship God.
Right.
And I know there was a guru that was saying, okay, I'm willing to go to death for that, for your right to worship the way you respect.
Yes.
That's very powerful. That's very powerful.
Actually, any spiritual being had experience in life, like a divine experience, and they reached the goal their own way. All the doctrine and teaching can convince you to do, to meditate and do this and do that. Actually, when you start to practice that way, and God shows you your own way, when you how you can realize the reality of the truth. That's the secret of the religion and every religion. But some religion, which I not feel comfortable, they want to force their idea to the people. That's not comfortable way to teach the others. You can convince with your own living, how you living, how's your practical life. If you love the neighbor, as the Bible mentioned in the Ten Commandments, and it's sure, doesn't matter who is your neighbor, he and she will love you, and she and he will respect you same way how you will do. So in this way, when I think about every religion, every human being, I can say the way is to live. If you want to live peacefully, and you have to provide the peace for others. You cannot disturb the peace for living of the others. So that's very good. One good to learn, as you sow, so shall you reap.
Yes, you, what you plant, you will get back.
You will get back.
Yes. You know, now that we're coming upon the spring, it's time, already time to start planting the seeds. And being raised on a farm, I've often told people, you plant corn, you're going to get corn.
Yes.
And that, you know, the old commandment of an eye for an eye, I mean, not old command, but the old law, living under that kind of law, who's going to win there? Eye for an eye, tooth for tooth. In other words, okay, tit for tat. You come at me, I come back to you. I will come back. And there's a legend, Gyanaji, in this country of the Hatfield and McCoys, because is this St. Patrick's Day? I think it is, come to think of it, or tomorrow. And I was with an Irishman last week, laughing about this now. In the mountains, the Hatfield and McCoys, they just kept having vendettas against each other, each other's families. And before it was over, everybody was gone. Everybody was gone. And that's when the bringing in the law of love, said, okay, let's find a way of understanding each other's viewpoint, live and let live, you know? And somehow or another, that's a tremendous subject to discuss.
And what I'd like to say here, I want to share, I don't know how many people will be listening to me.
Well, we have a lot of people that listen that we aren't seeing on the chat room because they have a way of listening to another source. Yes,
you know,
sir.
What I want to say, my goal and my religion, actually, my philosophy is a unconditional love. And if somebody have a question about to me, how I learn it, and I want to share with the people how I learn the unconditional love. I born in a village, and my father was a farmer. And we had that at our home cows and buffaloes and goats and horses and all the people. We not considered even people. And many very large group of the people, when they say other creature not have a soul, I feel very sad, very sad. And I start to cry in my mind. Every creature have a same soul. How I find and how I experience the unconditional love in the beginning of my life, there was one calf of my cow, little child, and he was male, and we were playing together, and what I ate, I gave him same thing. And he loved me. When he want to love me, he kissed my face. And one day, he grew up, and he was a little mad because he was trying to scare my mother away from him. And I got mad with him. I said, "Why, stupid, you try to scare my mother?" And I took the stick, and I gave him beat with the stick. And then after that, and he was not eating his grass. And his tear was coming from his eyes.
Tears were coming from his eyes?
Yes, he was weeping.
Weeping.
He was weeping. And my mother told him, you're not a good thing. You know, you gave him stick, and he's weeping. And I said, well, I feel so sorry. And I went to him, and I gave him some sugar. Which way, I loved the sugar when I was little. It's not sugar, it's raw sugar. We made at home.
Raw sugar, yes.
Raw sugar. And I give him and I hug him and he kissed me and he started to eat his food. And that was the beginning of my unconditional love concept of the unconditional love. And how much I give them love, they give me 10 times more. And how I can say they not have a soul? How I can say they not have a same feeling? They have a same feeling. But sadness is we are so far from the reality.
We're so far from the reality of that, yes.
Yes. So far away from the reality of the unconditional love. Again, I want to repeat, when you read the Ten Commandments from the Bible, Ten Commandments showing you, every commandment shows you unconditional love. Try to live as an unconditional love. Love the neighbor. Doesn't matter who is that your neighbor. He's a black, white, this and that, such. So love your neighbor. And when you start with this way, you will see, you will receive the unconditional love of the person, of the creature, any creature of this universe. You will love the you will receive the unconditional love if you will give the unconditional love.
If you'll give it, it'll come back. You have to have patience in doing that.
Yes.
And do not grow weary. That's in doing good. That's from the Bible. One of my very favorite Shabbat hymn is Koi Bole Ram Ram.
Yes.
And would you recite that or chant it? I know the listening the listeners would enjoy you chanting that. Of course, we don't have a harmonium or a tabla beside you, the two drums, but please.
So that Shabbat goes this way. The wording is Koi Bole Ram Ram, Koi Khudai, Koi Seve Gosaiya, Koi Alahe, Karan Karan Kareem, Kirpa Dhar Rahim. That much I would like to say. And when we sing it, if you're sitting anywhere in this world, in this planet, if you're listening to me, try to sing with me. I think if you will try, you will receive the grace. Koi bole Ram Ram, koi khudaye, koi bole Ram Ram, koi khudaye, koi seve gusaiya, koi alahe, koi seve gusaiya, koi alahe, koi bole Ram Ram, koi khudaye, koi bole Ram Ram, karan karan karema, kirpa dhar rahim, karan karan karema, kirpa dhar rahim, koi bole Ram Ram, koi khudaye, koi seve gusaiya, the meaning of this thing, doesn't matter somebody chanting the Ram Ram, somebody chanting the Hallelujah, any name of God. The Ram Ram chanting is from the Hindu. Koi bole Ram Ram, koi khudai. Khudai is a chanting of the Muslim. Koi seve gusaiya. This is also Hindu chanting, gusaiya. And koi bole Ram Ram, koi khudai, koi seve gusaiya, koi alahe. So some people call him Allah. Karan karan kareem, he is a creator of this universe and a protector and a cherisher of this universe. Kirpa dhar rahim, he's grace. He's graceful. And kirpa dhar rahim. So if we understand this philosophy, really we can bring the heaven and this planet. And we can live together and we can solve all the problems of this planet. Even creating the more problem, we need to solve the problem as a human being in this planet, not to create the problem. If we think we are human, and the children of one God, we are here, it's our duty to solve the problem of the all humanity, not with one country, not of one community, all community, human community, and on this planet. And we can do it. But if we start to think, the base is this philosophy is the unconditional love. And a real religion of the human is the unconditional love. Doesn't matter who you are, how long you will not understand this concept, you will never receive the peace of mind. Never.
Now, you know, a lot of people say, well, okay, I hear these words, unconditional love. And that doesn't mean that you're always just going to accept somebody's behavior and say, well, whatever you do is fine with me. That's not what you're talking about. In other, that's what my understanding is, that I have certain guidelines within my life of how I'm going, my behavior, my conduct.
Right.
If people come around me and they start behaving in such a manner that's not appropriate,
right,
in my mind, in my opinion, and there are certain things that I think that are just off the charts.
Yes, they train this way. It's not, you know, it's their nature.
And I'm not going to partake of that. And I have a saying, Gyanaji, with people who've tried, as you know, as a minister, I am a minister. People have tried to justify their behavior with me. And I say, okay. And the more, you know, the argumentative defense of any proposition is inversely proportional to the truth. In other words, the more defensive you get, hello, you're opposite. Why do you protest so much? And I've told people, I said, you know, I'm not here to condemn your behavior.
Right.
I am not here to condone that which I do not consider to be within the normal range of a healthy lifestyle.
Right.
I'm not going to say, oh, okay, stamp of approval, but I'm not going to condemn it. Now, that works for me. How do you, because I know you've, my goodness, you've been in the ministry 50 years. And like I said before, you are a man who does not see with human eyes, but my. You have discernment, you have the gifts of the Spirit, and you do not, how should I say, you do not prostitute your divine talents. I admire that greatly. You will not, you've always not allowed people to turn you into a human guru. I know that about you, that you say, look to your own, within your own mind, look within yourself. And so how do you explain the balance of where it's so not so far out that, you know, what some people refer to as, how should I say, airy fairy as a word.
Yes.
I don't know if that interprets. So how would you explain that?
Oh, you know, you know what I think, to tolerate those things when it's happened with me, it happened with me many times in my life. And when people think, you know, that somebody is a vulnerable, weak person, and they, many people have that nature, they want to take the disadvantage. And it's happened many times with me, not one time, not two times. But what I did, but my way to handle that, I say, okay, but it's very difficult to live that way. I said, okay, and if he's doing this way, he don't know what he's doing. Like, I love the one quote from the Jesus when they were going to, you know, the kill him and do such ugly things. It's not human conscious to do that. And then he said, okay, I need a prayer. And then they say, okay, what kind of prayer you will do? And they were going to kill him, and they scared from his prayer. And how silly thinking of the human, how silly mind is of the human.
Mm-hmm.
And when they said that, he said, I need a prayer before everything that happened. And they said, but you will pray. We need to hear it. And he said, God, Lord, O kind Father, what they're going to do, they don't know what they're going to do.
Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Beautiful. You know the Bible better than most, Gianji. That's beautiful. Well, before we go any further, I do have to say one thing about prayer, but about someone in the chat room is saying about they prefer the silent prayer, and I know how much you do in prayer. I've heard people ask you to pray for them, and you just say, yes, I will do that. Your deep prayers, they're in silence. I know that. You spend much time in prayer, and in the early morning hours when we go to the Gurdwara, what is that called, those prayers when we come in and start in that deep place of silence?
Yeah, they call it Jap.
Jap. I love that because, it's before the sun comes up, and it's very beautiful. And then I've forgotten how long we go before you start bringing in some shabads. It's quite lovely.
You know, here I want to say one thing. You know, when you do, when you start to, I put one quote in my Facebook.
Oh, yes, your quote on Facebook. I love that you're on Facebook. I discovered you there, and I went, oh, my goodness.
You know what I like to say here? I said the new day. Every new day, bring the new things in your life. You will think it, you will start to see it.
You think it, you'll start to see it.
See it.
I like that.
Yo, what happened in my life, you want to ask me, you know how, and the people say we cannot sleep at night. No, we cannot wake in sleep. After 2 o'clock, I cannot sleep. If I want to sleep, somebody wake me up.
Mm-hmm.
When you decide to meditate, to relate with the creator of the universe, he will take your everything. Everything. He will become your alarm. You no need an alarm clock. If you decide such and such time, I will pray, I will meditate, he will wake you up.
Yes, that's true.
Just prepare. Everything is ready for you as a human. If you want to relate with him, if you will walk one step toward him, he will come to 10 steps towards you. And he will help you. He will provide you everything what you need. Just decide it. Just decide it. He is with you. Just decide is he is with you. And this is what you need to decide. If he is with me, why I'm not with him?
Someone is asking on the board, and let's clarify two things because we're down to 7 minutes. Wow, that hour. But you and I talked this morning. We'd love to have you come back on occasion. And I'm excited that you're coming to Dallas next month. That's wonderful. Someone asked earlier about the swords. Has that worked now as far as you don't have to have a license to carry that sword? You know, in this country, you have to have a license to carry a weapon. Of course, that's a gun. But I know a lot, especially of the Khalsa order, Sikhs know how to use those swords, you know, in a martial arts type. And people can go to YouTube, by the way, and look up Sikhs, the Shabads, the one that we just chanted, and also just do a YouTube search, and you'll see one on there. Bole Sonia, and we'll do that right at the end because that's the great Khalsa call to truth. What about the sword? Have you had any trouble with the that going through the airport security?
Yes, they do. They bother.
Do you have to remove it and give it? Do they take it separately now? I know before before the tragedy of 9/11, which was very difficult for Sikhs. I know there were Sikhs that were killed because they wear a turban, and the turbans, by the way, look totally different, but that's a subtle difference, and the turban is to keep the hair neat, and people need to understand that's not one of the 5Ks, but it is became the tradition of keeping things neat. And
if you talk about turban, I am a citizen here, and living from the more than 20 years in the United States, and how many time, actually I had a meeting, the head of the police of the city, and I went there, and I lectured them, and all the things. And but still, when we go in somewhere in a common place like a parking, or like the park, somewhere, some kind of place in a store, and many people, they give us very rotten look because we have a turban and long beard. Because the people not have a patience to think if the Muslim have a turban and a Sikh have a turban, we are look like totally different if you try to see it.
Right, totally different. Yes.
Totally different. But yes. They consider us as if we are Muslim. How sad I am about that sometimes.
Well, we're down to 4 minutes, Gyanaji. But someone, let's clarify. There are no, from a human standpoint, there are no gurus in Sikhism.
What?
There are no human gurus in Sikhism. And the reason it's called Guru Granth Sahib is that the essence of God, the essence of the Holy Scriptures.
Yes.
I do bow when I go into the Gurdwara. Some people think I'm bowing to a book. I'm bowing to the essence of spirit.
Yeah, we not bow the book. It's essence of the spirit.
But there are no human gurus and no swamis.
No.
Right. And people need to understand that when you go, and women have equal rights. I've participated, and I've been blessed to participate and to edify and bring forth the ministry in my life is highly regarded within the Sikh faith. And
yes.
And when we go into the Gurdwara, we all sit on the same level.
Yes.
There's no platform for. Except the Guru Granth Sahib is set up higher, again, out of respect for the spirit realm. And that that answer, I believe that answers everybody's questions. Now, as far as the, again, getting back just quickly to the kirpan, the sword, I've taken many Sikhs to the airport prior to 9/11. It was totally understood. That and there was just I never had experienced any problems even after 9/11. I know that. However, it was kept separately. Do you you'll be flying again soon? Will you pack it in a suitcase separate and?
Yeah.
Check it out of respect. See, this is also what I really admire about the Sikhs. You live in the United States and you abide. You have deep respect. For the laws of the country. And that's very important for people, that when we go into a different culture, a different that's important. And I know that you live and breathe by that. Not that there's a separate law with Sikhs as far as that's concerned, but I know, you know.
Yes.
Well, we're coming to the end here, and I think I would like you to do the, not the full Ardas, the ending prayer, but the two Takatum Pe Ardas. And that's, I'll give the English, and then right at the end, folks, you're going to hear Gyanaji say, Bole Sangha.
Right.
And that means, and I'll say Sat City Akal. So y'all get ready for that, and means, they who reply will be blessed. The truth is greater than dying. And what he's about to chant as we end, you're the master, to you I pray, the life and the body, all of your gifts. You're the mother and the father. We are your children. In your mercy alone rests our every joy. No one knows your extent. You, O Lord, are the highest of the high. All creation is at your command. From you comes the order of creation. Your ways and means are known only to you. Nanak, your slave is ever a sacrifice to you.
Yeah, this is our main prayer, and this is, I think, this prayer, every human being can do this prayer, because this is a prayer, reality, for humanity, for this universe.
Would you chant that, please, and then give us our blessings, and thank you for being with us.
Tu thakar tum pe adas, yu pind sab teri ras, tum maat pita hum bark tere, tumri kirpa mein sukh nere. कोई न जाने तुम्हारा अंत ऊंचे ते ऊंचा भगवान सगल समझरी तुम्हारे सुधारी तुमते हुए सो आज्ञाकारी तुमरी गत मित नहीं जाने नानक दास सदा कुर्बानी तुमरी गत मित तुम ही जाने नानक दास सदा कुर्बानी बोले सो निहाल
Satyakal, Waheguru Ji Ka Khalsa, Waheguru Ji Ki Fateh.
Thank you.
God bless Kiana Ji.
God bless everyone. It is unconditional love and grace.
Bye.
Bye.
In a world of so much hate, crime and injustice, what we need right now is some universal love. Unconditional love, y'all.